For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ashley, and I am the Spiritual Formations Pastor here at Redeemed. That encompasses various things, but one of my responsibilities is to help promote and support the discipleship and spiritual growth of both individuals and Redeemed community as a whole through various opportunities like small groups, mentorship, classes, resource development, etc. I love growing alongside others as I help them take next steps in their relationship with God. And I am excited to dig in with you today about the overall calling the Sermon on the Mount places on our lives. It's been quite the ride, hasn't it? We've spent the last 3 months examining, understanding, and applying Jesus' sermon. He covers a lot and challenges us to a lot. And we have learned a lot as we've tackled it piece by piece. But now it's time to bring all those pieces back together and look at the whole. What's the big picture here, and how do we do what Christ is asking of us? If we rewind back to Matthew 5:48, Jesus commands something that seems impossible. He says, I can get this to work. It's not working.
Just like give me a thumbs up and I'll live it.
Okay, great. Thanks. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What in the world is that? How can we possibly be perfect, let alone perfect like God? Did Jesus really mean that? Let's start by taking a closer look at the word perfect. Some versions translate this verse as holy. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Jesus is actually citing Leviticus 19:2 here, in which God commands to Israel, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The entire Sermon on the Mount is a call to holiness. Jesus shows us both that we need to be holy and how to be holy. The Greek word that Jesus uses in this verse is teleos. There are many translations for the word teleos because there is so much meaning packed into this one word. It is often translated as perfect, holy, mature, or complete. Something is described as teleos when it fulfills its purpose or achieves the goal for which it was made. So, if we are to be teleos, perfect or holy, we are to fulfill the purpose for which we have been made. Just before this verse, Jesus talks about loving not just those who love you, but your enemies too. And immediately following this verse, he warns his listeners to avoid religious acts for the sake of praise or being seen, just going through the motions without the right motives. He cushions this command to be holy right in between a command to love and a warning to avoid hypocrisy. His entire sermon is about the heart, the transformation of the heart. He doesn't want rule followers. He wants your heart. We fulfill the law and the prophets when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and when we love our neighbor. One version translates Matthew 5:48 this way. Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. His whole sermon is about loving God and loving neighbor rightly. We are teleos and fulfill the purpose for which we were created when we love God and love our neighbor. Now, we've pretty well established over these last 3 months that we need to love God and love our neighbor, and we have a hunger to do this correctly. But how? As I was listening to Rick's last sermon, he encouraged and challenged us in so many different ways to not just hear, but to do, to build the right foundation for our lives, to submit to the right person because we all submit to someone, to produce the right fruit, to check that we are producing good fruit rather than bad fruit, to not just acknowledge that God exists, but to surrender to him. These are all calls to holiness, to teleos. And these calls and challenges to holiness are echoed throughout Christ's entire sermon. There's a reason that this sermon seems to hit everything. Jesus is saying in these three chapters, if you are going to be my disciple, this is how it works. It's all about relationship and heart posture. And we've spent 3 months hearing that call. We want to respond, but maybe we're not sure how. Practically, what does this look like in our lives? How do I become holy, perfect, complete, when I mess up all the time? How do I change my heart posture? How do I get into right relationship with God and others? First of all, this is not something that we can do on our own. We are powerless to change our own heart. It is God who transforms us, but he waits for our permission. He created us with free will, and he will never force us to love him, to surrender to him, or be changed by him. He wants us to choose him. We do that by recognizing that he is God and submitting our lives to him. That's the first step, believing in God and accepting Jesus as Lord. But it doesn't stop there. God sent Holy Spirit to walk alongside us, to grow us in relationship with him, and to make us more Christ-like as we pursue him. We can always grow in our love for God and in our love for others. But so often, we get tripped up on the rules and we forget about the relationship. Most often, people think about salvation, holiness, and following God like this. You have a circle with God in the center, and the circle around him represents God's boundaries, laws, rules, and just in general, what we think God expects of us in order to follow him and obey him and be in right relationship with him. The way most people think about salvation and relationship with God is this next image. If you're inside this circle, if you're within God's boundaries, if you're in within God's laws, if you're doing all the right things, you're saved, you're good. And if you're outside the circle, you're not in relationship with God, you're not saved, and you're going to hell. Some of the problems with this concept are that it is all rules-based and completely focused on the rules. It takes away the relational aspect of salvation and that God is actually looking for restoration and relationship, not just rule followers. It treats it like a get-out-of-jail-free card, just hang out in the circle until I die, and I'm good. It encourages you to get just on the other side of this line and hang out there because you're safe. People on the inside of the circle tend to look down on people on the outside of the circle. It's where we get our hypocrisy and our pointing out the planks in people's eyes. It's very easy to think of us versus them. But what if we thought about it a little more like this? Instead of focusing on whether we are inside or outside the circle, we ask ourselves, what are we aiming towards? Is our focus on the rules or on God? We are either moving towards God or away from God. We are either pursuing relationship with him or we are not. The arrows that are so focused on the line, on doing it right, being inside the circle, are not focused on their relationship with God, are not focused on drawing closer to him, are not focused on becoming more like him. They are seeing how close they can get to that line without crossing to the outside. That is legalism. That is works-based faith. You're looking at people on the inside and on the outside and judging them based on whether they are in the club or outside the club. and how well they are following the rules. The difference between the person just inside the circle but looking at that line and the person outside the circle looking at God is at least that person is aiming towards God. If we look at that line more as a decision point, that moment when you finally say yes, yes, God is God, Christ is Lord, He has saved me from my sin and restored my relationship with Him, there can still be seeking outside of salvation. We have people who have made that decision and are inside the circle, but they're now so focused on the rules. And we have people who are looking at God, both inside and outside the circle, and seeking and pursuing a deeper relationship with Him, accepting that invitation from God to grow more and more in relationship with Him and who He has created and called them to be. When we focus on the relational aspect of it, we move away from a works-based faith, a checklist, the legalism and hypocrisy, and begin moving away from the othering and the looking down our noses that happens. If we view salvation as relationship and moving towards God, then not only should we be working on moving closer to God, but we should also be walking alongside others, no matter where they are, inside or outside of the circle, and helping them to move closer to God as well. This is a journey we walk together as we help each other see how God is moving in our lives and inviting us to move closer to Him throughout our entire lives. As we grow in relationship with God, as we seek Him more and love Him more and move closer to Him, and Holy Spirit continues to transform us, the more that love can't help but to spill out into the world and towards others. And this is where we see the fruit of the Spirit, the good fruit Rick was talking about last time, grow. Well, great, but how do we keep our focus on God, our aim on God? There are ways in which we can engage in relationship with God that will draw us closer to Him. And the more we set our eyes on Him and the closer we get to Him, the more Holy Spirit is able to do in our lives to transform us and fill us with His love. So much so that it can't help but spill out of us as good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus says in John 15:1-8, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes, and He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Jesus commands us to remain in him. Relationships take time. If you don't spend time with people, the relationship withers. The more time you spend with them, the more you get to know them and the more that relationship grows. It is the same with our relationship with God. Jesus is encouraging us in this passage to spend time with him, to work on our relationship with him. We have to stay connected in order to grow and produce fruit. So, how do we remain in him? How do we cooperate with God's work in our life to transform us and fill us with love so that we can bear good fruit? we need to set our eyes on God. When we aim small, we miss small. If you aim for relationship with God, that small circle in the center, rather than for the boundaries and the rules, the big circle, we can aim small by developing something called spiritual disciplines in our lives. You have to be careful, though, because just like the laws and the rules, these spiritual disciplines can also become idols in our lives. These are tools to draw us closer to God. They are not the goal themselves. When they become the checklist and the goal, our aim is way off again. It is about the heart and the motive. Some of these disciplines are study. You can study scripture, but you can also study books about God. You can study nature. The idea is that you are digging in and learning more about God and learning more about your relationship with Him. Meditation is different than study. With study, you're really trying to learn and understand and apply it. With meditation, you are sitting with it. You're letting it saturate your mind and your spirit and just speak to you. You might meditate on a verse or a phrase. You might meditate on just a word, maybe a characteristic of God, as you just let it soak in. There are lots of different things that you can meditate about. Prayer of all kinds. God wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants to hear your praises, your petitions, your griefs. He wants to hear what's on your mind. And you can spend time with Him in prayer in so many ways. So often we get caught up in just one type of prayer or two types of prayer. I would encourage you to expand the ways in which you pray. We often forget about laments. Laments in the Bible are a great way to spend time with God. Thanksgiving, praises. Fasting. There's lots of different ways that you can fast. Everybody automatically thinks about fasting with food. If you're going to fast with food, especially more than just one meal, definitely talk with your doctor and make sure that it is okay for your health to do that. But there are lots of things you can fast from. You can fast from social media. You can fast from your favorite coffee for the morning. You can fast from your favorite TV show. The idea with fasting is not just to give something up, but to replace and fill that time and those resources centered on God. So if you're giving up a show that you might watch, maybe spend that 20, 30 minutes with God instead. If you're giving up your coffee, maybe you use that money to help out the community somehow. But the idea is to recenter your focus and your priorities on God through fasting. Simplicity. Our lives have gotten so crazy and busy and chaotic, and we can slow down our schedules. We can slow down our lives and our routines. We can also simplify the clutter that we have in our house or the clutter of our schedule. Simplicity helps us to bring everything back to God and center it on God. Solitude. Lots of different ways that you can practice solitude. Solitude is often practiced along with one or more of these other practices like study or meditation or prayer. But you can take a walk out in nature and just spend that time with God, finding time to spend alone. Again, it's a relationship, and if you aren't spending time with Him, spending time alone with Him, that relationship won't grow. Submission. You can pray about an area in your life that maybe God has been trying to lead you to give something up or surrender something to Him. Maybe there's an area you haven't given control yet, but you can ask for guidance in what areas you need to submit to Him. Service is a great way to decenter ourselves and recenter God and others. We can serve others and help to remember that we are not the center of our world, that God is, and help us to see others through God's eyes. Confession. Confession is a way in which we can be free of the burdens that we have of guilt and sin. Often, sometimes we will confess to God, but there is something also about confessing to a trusted individual or to your small group that just frees and releases that bondage that sin may have on your life. And worship. We've talked a lot about how music is just one way in which we can worship God. We can worship God through all sorts of different practices. These different spiritual practices are a form of worship. But you can worship God in the way that you interact with your family, in the way that you serve your community. You can put on some music and dance in your kitchen to worship God. You can worship him through art as well. Lots of different ways to worship him, but it is the idea of recentering God in our lives and recognizing that he deserves our praise and our worship. Guidance is one that often gets looked over, but it is a powerful one. We can seek Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives, and we can seek guidance in just that way, one-on-one with God. But we can also seek God's guidance through the counsel of others, whether it's your small group or a trusted mentor. Maybe you need guidance in a decision that you are making. Maybe you need guidance in trying to discern what purpose God has for you, what calling he has for you, and what he wants you to do next. And celebration. We get to celebrate that all good things come from God, and we can worship him through celebration, and when we recenter our celebration around the idea that everything comes from God and that all blessings are from God, it helps us to realign our hearts to him. All of these practices help us to spend more time with God and realign our priorities and shift our focus and our heart towards him, placing him in the right position in our lives. Remember, if we're doing these just to check off a list, they are not going to do what they're meant to do, and they're going to become an idol. They're going to become hypocrisy. They're going to become just one more mundane task that we have to do in our day. But it's not about what we have to do. It's about what we get to do. It's about what we are invited by God to do. It's about what God is doing in us and through us. With the right heart posture, all of these practices help us to grow in love for God and others. They help us open our hearts to the surgery God needs to do in us, to remove the hate, the judgmentalism, the jealousy, the anger, the despair, anxiety, impatience, cruelty, untrustworthiness, selfishness, etc., and instead fill us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the good fruit that overflows in our lives when we are surrendered to God and pursuing him with everything we have. This is what love for God and others looks like. Now, for many of us, this idea of pursuing holiness is completely foreign. These spiritual practices seem confusing, intimidating, maybe even impossible. We may recognize the value and importance of such practices, but we aren't sure where to start or how to go about them. The good news is we were never meant to do this alone. This is why Redeemed focuses on making disciples who make disciples. We were created for community. While we can and should pursue these practices on our own, we are also supposed to do this alongside one another. Many of these practices can be done alongside a mentor or friend who can model these practices for you as you both grow together. You and a friend can also explore and learn these things for the first time together. Small groups can study and learn and grow in these practices together, and you can study and learn them on your own too. And of course, Rick, Nicole, Joel, and I are happy to walk alongside you in this journey as well. One of the things we value here at Redeemed is equipping you to do the work and test what we say on Sunday mornings. We want you to go deeper than we can possibly go during our services. So this morning, we have only just barely scratched the surface on what holiness is and how to pursue holiness the way God asks us to. So if you scan this QR code that's up here, it will take you to a document with links to videos, books, and even free classes that allow you to pursue more. There is a lot on that document. There's some getting your feet wet sort of resources, some that dig a little bit deeper, and if you just really want to go all out, there's resources for that too. Please don't let this document overwhelm you, and don't feel like you have to do it all. Just start small. Choose one thing and see where it takes you. Maybe explore with a friend, or if you'd like, I'd love to sit down and work through any of these resources with you, or even just have a conversation about today's sermon. The important thing is that you take the time to equip yourself to move one step closer to God. Before we return to worship through music, I want to encourage you with these questions. How is your aim, your heart posture? Are your eyes set on God or on the boundaries and the to-do lists? What is one thing that you can start doing to realign your aim, to invite God to transform you and draw you closer to Him? Pray about it and see what God is leading you to. And finally, who is one person that you can share this journey of growth with? Will you please pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the ways in which you invite us into relationship with you. Thank you for pursuing us and never giving up on us. Thank you for the hunger you have placed in us to love you more and to love others. Please guide us as we continue to surrender to you, to seek you, and to love you. Please help us to allow you to transform our hearts and align it to yours. Show us ways in which we can take another step closer to you, and help us to see the ways you are inviting us to walk alongside others in this journey. Please help us to keep our aim on you. Amen.
Go ahead and stand and join us.